And one of the interesting trends that is very big in the US and surprisingly is making its way here to Australia and across other parts of the world is the rise of fantasy sports and the gambling that goes with that. To talk to us about that in a little bit more depth is Dylan Pickering, a PhD candidate at the University of Sydney. Good morning, Dylan. For those who may not be aware, fantasy sports, what are they? They're a bit like, for me, who has a fantasy life, not real.
Exactly right. Well, firstly, thanks for having me on, Mark. So basically what fantasy sports are, it's a game that's played among fans of a particular sport, professional sports. That can be NRL, AFL or cricket. And basically what these people do is select like a virtual team of real-life players from different professional sporting codes, and that's different teams throughout that sporting code. And then they collect fantasy points, which is based on the real-life statistics of each of the players within their team. And the winners within a fantasy league basically are the best scoring combination of players per round.
So for those who may be struggling with gambling, this is a new feather in the cap there. Not only can you go and bet on real-life sporting events and codes, but you can go and bet on pretend ones as well. What are some of the risks associated for gamblers when they're coming up with fantasy sports in particular?
Yeah, well, traditionally fantasy sports was played over a full season of competition, and basically they used to be free to play or a very small initial fee. With the new daily variant of fantasy sport, they're usually played over just a single game or a round of competition. And they involve entry fees each time to play, which can be up to $1,000 per fee.
You're joking.
That's right. So they are, for those people out there that are quite serious about their fantasy sports, they can pay up to $1,000 to enter a competition. And then, of course, there's multiple different contests running at the same time. So theoretically, people could spend a lot of money in a short period of time on these daily fantasy sports. So as you mentioned before, it can just be another feather in the cap of the problem gamblers. Cause we do know that problem gamblers, they often participate in multiple different forms of gambling. So just introducing another form could potentially add an additional financial stress.
I think with the rise of fantasy sports too, Dylan, as you mentioned, that it's not no longer just going over a full season, which would be a bit of a delayed reaction. If it's happening over a day or a week, and particularly with $1,000 buy-ins, that could be absolutely disastrous for those who can't control themselves.
Yeah, well, exactly right. So with the traditional format, it was quite innocuous in that you'd play over a long period of time and you wouldn't really know the results of your competition until right at the end of the season. This way, people are finding out about the results week to week, and they're paying up to, as I said, $1,000. But I think a more regular buy-in is more like $5 to $10.
Dylan, how do you think we can reduce the influence of excessive gambling throughout society? Because in the last decade or so, it seems to really have beefed up a little bit. It's no longer just having a hit on the pokies or heading to the TAB to put a couple of dollars on the fifth race. It's everywhere we go. And in theory, you can actually go onto your phone, check that you've been paid, go in to another website and bet all of your week's pay on any sort of gambling. It's pretty scary, isn't it?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think the event of the internet and online gambling has really made opportunities to gamble much more available. And so, as you said, people can just get on their phone and get on a sports betting app. And now they can also get on the daily fantasy sports app and theoretically spend quite a bit of money on that. So it really highlights the importance of addressing the potential harms that can result from these type of gambling opportunities. So there's a few ways that this can be done, and one of them is through appropriate government regulation around these particular activities. That's really quite directly based on the harm that can occur from participation. Of course, public education is very important in terms of making the public informed about the true probabilities that are associated with winning from gambling, and also the potential risks and where excessive gambling can lead to as well. And for those people that do experience quite serious problems with their gambling, there's a number of different treatment options. So, for instance, I work at the Gambling Treatment and Research Clinic at the University of Sydney. And we have quite a number of clinicians who treat people that experience gambling problems. So there's other support, like 24-hour helpline services and things like that as well.
Dylan, it is a whole new world, particularly with the advent of the internet, as you said, in terms of gambling. Thank you for your time with us this morning.
No problem at all, Mark. Thank you for having me on.
From the University of Sydney, PhD candidate Dylan Pickering, all about that fantasy world of fantasy sports and gambling. 2NURFM 103.7.